Why is this happening again, Lord? I thought this issue was resolved. And it comes back again. But you ask questions to God. But then you are delighted to ask questions in His presence.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, January 19th, 2025. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Transforming Our Lives. And our text comes to us from Joshua chapter 23, verses 1 and 2, and 14 through 15. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
Well, we're coming to the end of 21 days of fasting and prayer. And some of you have prayed, some have fasted, some of you just totally forgot. It's the way of being a Christian today. So many things competing for our attention. And so today, as technically the last Sunday, next Sunday, Denny Truett will be speaking. I'd like to address something very important that comes to my mind whenever I think of prayer and think of a life of, shall we say, of dedication, commitment to the Lord. It's a holistic approach and the importance of coming close to the Lord. And the text I have found today is Joshua chapter 23, and it will be verse 1, 2, and then 14 and 15. And Joshua 23, verse 1 and 2 says, as we will look at the screen, and we will look at the scripture that addresses issues very important. It says, then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel. And the Lord had given Israel rest from their enemies around them, and Joshua, by them, was old. How many feel old today? Oh, come on. Even Mike feels old, yeah, well. And well advanced in years, that's a separate thing. That's only for Martha and me, that's it. Nobody else has a right to do that. But if we go on, verse 2, he summoned all of Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said, I'm old. I'm well advanced in years. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, that's an important fact of life. Not too many people get to say, I'm old and advanced in years. Here's Joshua, military leader, successor of Moses, coming to a place in his life where he understood it to be a moment of reckoning, a moment of reality. You know, reality is something that when it hits you, it hits you. And the cruel thing about reality is it doesn't change. You can fake reality, but it doesn't make any difference. Reality continues to be reality. So we're going to jump now to verse 14 and 15. And he says, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that no one thing has failed of all of the good things which Jehovah your God spoke concerning you. All are coming to pass unto you. Not one thing has failed. Therefore, God has never failed us." So here is the analysis of a life well spent. And he says, not a single promise has failed. God has not failed me in all the years that I have lived. He's old. And he says, God has not failed me. What a testimony to say. Can you say God hasn't failed you so far? But this guy is at the end of the age, coming to the end. And he says, God has not failed, not one thing. Now let's go to verse 15. But just as every good promise of the Lord your God has come true, so the Lord will bring on you all the evils he has threatened and he has destroyed you from his good land that God has given you. And I am telling you, God has a way of working and dealing in our lives that he takes care of everything that goes right and everything that goes wrong. May God bless the reading of his word. There is another passage in this same chapter that addresses the commitment that Joshua made, and that is that he had, knowing that God had been faithful to him and that God was still active in his life, that he had decided to do one thing. He said, some people will follow the customs and the the traditions of men, but one thing I have purpose in my life. Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it's this serving of the Lord that I need to address, because the 21 days of prayer and fasting and seeking the Lord has to do with putting the Lord first in our lives and allowing God to work through our lives so that when we come to a place where we're ready to be entered into the presence of the Lord, we can say, God has never failed me. God has never done anything in my life that has contradicted his blessing in me. So I like to talk about something that deals with God in your life, the God with your life, or with God life. Because Joshua, in all his years, his longing, his desire, was to be truly connected to God. And that should be our desire, to be connected with God, but in a personal way. It wasn't just him being a military leader receiving commands from God to take the promised land, but it was a personal issue with him. It was dealing with the issues of life that led him to say, you may wander off and pursue carnal needs and pursue carnal desires, but me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. I sometimes think that some Christians today don't really understand what it really means to have a personal relationship with the Lord in the sense of community. Often people treat God in an impersonal way. We have prayer lists here, but I usually take this home with me and I keep praying through the week. But dealing with God is more than just dealing with God with a prayer list of needs and concerns that we have. It's more than just coming to church on Sunday morning, for which we do, because that's what we practice our faith, and we develop our faith in community always. But yet, there ought to be a desire that Christ is more than just a ritual, more than just a church service or a chorus that we sing, but that we seek a deeper life with God. And the days of fasting and prayer is trying to help us get along in that area. In other words, we don't want a secondhand experience with God. We want to have a direct, interactive communion with him, where God is alive in every single day of our lives, and that we don't put God on the weekends, on Sunday mornings, but that he is 24/7, all the time. When we have this desire to be with God, we show what is known as hunger for divine companionment, where his company is what we seek. When we starve our soul and we don't seek the Lord on a regular basis, when we don't think of him, like Paul says, pray without ceasing, when we stop thinking or seeking God, our soul can starve. And there's nothing worse than a Christian that has that soul that's starving for God, because it becomes frustrated and it becomes a life of impersonal living. One of the ways in which we can really fracture our life without God inside of our hearts is when we love people without a genuine heart connection, when we do lip service. But what I'm saying that in the last 21 days of prayer and fasting, we need to go beyond just a religious practice or a time of seeking God. But we should understand the importance of a heart that is nurturing, encountering God. And my question to you is, do we have this proximity with God? Do we have personal encounters with him? Do we talk about him, or do we live with him? Is this connection with him or not? The Bible tells us that we are more than invited to live a life that is different from the rest of the world. And the rest of the world has their own way of doing and managing their life and even their sins. But the spiritual foundations for you and for me is that you and I may acquire a life that is abundant with his life and his love and his strength. In 1 John 5:12, he says, whoever has the Son has life. Do you have life? Is there life in your heart? Or is it a mourning? Is it simply, I don't want to say Rose Hills, but anyway, is it dead or is it alive? Is the Lord a reality? Or is he just something that you talk about once in a while? If you have life, then live. Live with the power and the presence of God facing every situation that comes to you and to me. He says in John 10:10, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. There's an abundant life that's possible for you and for me when we listen to him, when we seek him, when we take the time for prayer and fasting. I wonder, maybe you wondered, whether it's possible to really sense the real presence of God in your life every single day. I'm wondering if you practice that presence of God in your heart. And you know, the scripture says, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ. So sins have been dealt with by the cross. Sins should not detain you, because the Lord's taking care of the sins. It is your willingness to seek him. And we're blocked. We have like, I guess block is the only way I can think of. We have interference that we think that we can't approach God on our daily basis for the issues that trouble us. We try and then all of a sudden you get this thought, well, you're a sinner. Well, hooray for the discovery. But we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Lord came to this world to take our sins away. Sins should not be an impediment for entering into the presence of God and enjoying abundant life that he offers. The enemy will say to you, oh, but you know what you did last night? Wait, what did I say last night? You know what you did today? And there's like block. Sometimes you lose your patience. Sometimes you say what you shouldn't say. You have thoughts that are not right. But all of those things are part of the human condition that has been overridden by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead, and we rose with him. There is no such a thing as a sin issue that has not been resolved at the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You and I simply need to say, you know what? I've come to have abundant life. I'm going to look and find the life that God gives. Ephesians 2:5, it says that he made us alive together with Christ. So there is this life, this abundant life, this quality of life, this issue that we don't live like lost sheep, but we are found sheep. We belong to him, and he calls us. My sheep hear my voice. We need to listen. We need to pay attention. We need to just think about the Lord speaking to our hearts and to our lives and say, I want to have this abundant life. I don't want to have a mediocre life, a half-baked life, but a full life which is possible. Every issue you're fighting today, the Lord gives you victory. But you must seek him. You must look for him. You must want it. You must activate that inside. It's your will. It's your will. You must will it. If you don't will it, it's not going to happen. Two great authors that I go to all the time have been my inspiration for many, many years. One of them is Dallas Willard, and we use his books in all of our schools. He says that salvation... And actually, he says that scripture says salvation is deliverance into the kingdom of God now. We're delivered into the kingdom of God from the kingdom of darkness. We already in an environment, in an atmosphere that is ours for the wanting. We're already having translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. There's been a shift. You were dead in trespasses and sins, but he made you alive. And it's a change of position. And there's accessibility to the abundant life that you and I crave and you and I need to have. If you really want to connect with God, if you really want issues to be resolved the God way, it's there. It's for your asking, for your seeking, for your wanting to do that. So it's a deliverance from darkness. It's a deliverance from the power of Satan. It's deliverance from the bad stuff that you did. It's deliverance from all of that. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. And everything is new all over the place. You must access that. If you don't access that, then you will stay where you are. It's the Lord has done a work in your life, and it needs to happen in your wanting to, a willingness to seek him. Everywhere in Scripture you find the admonitions to seek and to knock and to ask. If you seek, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. There's this desire to want God's abundant life to fill our lives. When you want that, it's going to happen in your life and my life. And the other author that I refer to all the time is Dr. William Barclay. He says the following: eternal life includes present wholeness and union with God. Some of us believe that salvation, it's deliverance from hell and a ticket to heaven. Well, yeah, you know, we have the visa, right? But we're still here. And salvation is not just going to heaven. Salvation is enjoying and living for God now. Eternity has already begun for you and for me. The moment we came to Christ, eternity was ours. And we live the eternal life right now. You now have a relationship with God. In spite of all the issues that you and I may battle, God is there working. And you and I need to know that there's been a transfer from the power of darkness to the light. And that right now you can enjoy the abundant life that is ours in Christ Jesus. So what is eternal life, somebody said? Well, it's a long time. Well, it's not just time. It's quality. Jesus, there's only one definition for eternal life. And that definition is by Jesus, who said, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, that will be God, and whom you've sent, which is Christ. And the word know means not just head knowledge, it means a relationship with God. So in your relationship with God, you chew, you digest, you inherit, you get into and involved in the wonderful life that is out there for you. It's a dimension of life that awaits you. It's there. So nobody says amen, but that's okay. But life with God begins right now. It's not something you have to wait for right now. Right now, you can enjoy not only the answers to your dilemmas, but you can enjoy God. He can transform our everyday experiences so that you can understand how God plays a role in your present life right now. Well, anyway, some people just want to get saved so they can go to heaven, and I'm glad that we're all going to go to heaven. But there's a lot more than coming to Christ and just going to heaven. It's living for him and enjoying God's company right now. This is not something strange or awkward, because when you look at the Bible, you find that God has an interactive life with human beings. And sometimes we kind of like say, yeah, I read the Bible and I see, for instance, Abraham speaking with God. But that doesn't happen now. Yes, it does. You just have to recognize God's voice in your life. Sometimes we forget how God actually speaks and how he says things to you. You need to have this discerning ear Because God does say things. Now, sometimes it's your own thoughts, which is perfectly fine. Sometimes, of course, it's the carnal thoughts, and sometimes it's the devil and all that. But there's a voice of God. And if you seek him, you will hear God's voice in your soul. Abraham had conversations with God. Jacob, it's another guy. And Jacob was not necessarily the greatest of all people. I mean, he was a cheater and a swindler. And I mean, he was devious. Yet God spoke to him. Oh, and Abraham was no saint, by the way. Abraham did all kinds of crazy things. Read Genesis. See, it's not the measure of your present status as you see it yourself. It is what God says about you. Jacob wrestled with God. And he wrestled with God, and God won. But wait a minute. After wrestling with God, God won, but God, in that wrestling match, in Genesis 32, you find that God gives him a new identity, gives him a new way of life. And you and I should wrestle with God. The issues that matter to us, the issues that are important to us, the issues that keep us awake at night, and wrestle with God, and then say, Uncle. Then give up and say, Your will, not my will. And he will give you a new identity, a new way of looking at life. So, yes, Jacob. How about David? David had divine battle plans given to him by God. Talk about minutiae. Talk about God saying, this is how you're going to win. God speaking to him. Yes, he does. And when you go into the New Testament, it's a plethora of God intervening in your life and in the life of Peter and Paul and Joseph. I mean, there was one crucial moment in the life of Peter when there was a vision from heaven that he should kill and eat animals that were, you know, unclean to the Jew. And he said, I'm not going to do that. And God says, what I've cleaned, don't you call it dirty. It's clean. And I mean, God speaking, God addressing the issue that you face. Yes, yes. And Paul and Silas in jail with the earthquake and the angel and God speaking. I mean, we live in a supernatural world, and it's not a weird world. When you come to Christ and you allow him to speak to you to the issues that matter in your life and in my life. I want you to understand that Abraham and Jacob and David and Peter and Paul and Joseph, good grief, shows me one important thing, one of many, but one of them is that spiritual growth flows from relationship with God and not rules. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, they knew how to keep score. And they would say, today is Saturday. You can't fast. You can't do this. You can't do that. And Jesus just overwhelmed them completely. Because the God we serve is a being, is a person. And it's relationship with him that makes the difference. And you develop that relationship through prayer, through we'll talk in a minute, way in which you cultivate your life. And it matters to God. It matters. Everything that happens to you matters. So how do you cultivate this life with God? Well, I'll give you three or four ideas, and then we'll call it a day. You need to hear God as he speaks to you through Scripture. You got to take time. The old hymn said, take time to be holy. You got to take time to read God's word, because it's through God's word that unmistakably he will speak to you. But how? Well, because you hear God in Scripture as you have a conversation with him. When you approach God and you speak to him and you read Scriptures and you actually address God, asking for clarity and asking to how does this apply to my life? But more than that, how does this apply to who God really is? Waiting in prayer is another one. You know, prayer is such a mystery to some people. But prayer for me is simply a conversation with God. And it's not necessarily a to-do list or I want this, Lord. It's not a shopping list. We can ask God to do things for us, but the idea of prayer is to have communion with God, fellowship with God. Sometimes not asking for anything, but to be in the presence of the Lord. Waiting in God, in prayer. Just somebody said to me, I get up in the morning, I grab my Bible, and I read with a cup of coffee. Well, that's not spiritual. Of course it's spiritual. Come on, give me a break. Yeah. Well, I got to be on my knees and do whatever you want to do. But don't judge anybody else by how you do things, because we become so legalistic that we think that God can only do things if we do this formula. And relationships do not have formulas. And if your marriage is a formula, it's gonna fail. It has to be a working relationship. It has to be give and take. You have to have a dialogue and speak and make yourself understood and understand those who are with you. So waiting in God in prayer, start your day like that. Through the day, find time. And asking God, another one, it's asking questions and delighting yourself in the presence of God. You know, we all go through things. And sometimes I'm puzzled by why is this happening to me? A esta edad ya de viejo. Bueno, no tan viejo, pero por ahí voy. Why is this happening again, Lord? I thought this issue was resolved. And it comes back again. But you ask questions to God. But then you are delighted to ask questions in his presence, because he's going to hear you. And he just might answer you with a smile or with a wink. And so you say, it is well with my soul, it is well. Questions we face, the issues we face. You delight yourself in his presence, knowing that he is working it out. It's happened to me, I'm sure it's happened to you. Issues that you and I face that we can't resolve. And all we do is say, Lord, I got this issue, I don't know how to resolve it, but let's talk about something else. And before you know it, the issue that so troubled you, it's gone from your consciousness. It's gone from your thought life. And 2-3 days afterwards, you see the results of it being resolved. So there's something that the saints of old did. It's called contemplative prayer, where you just sit in the presence of the Lord and you think about him and you engage in moments in your life. We say prayer and fasting. You know, Hispanics are good for prayer, for fasting, but there's one more that they're good for. Some would they call it vigilias. You know what vigilias are? All night of prayer. You know, I have to confess, I can't do that. You know, we're going to be spiritual in this church, so we're going to have a vigilia. So we come on Friday, and we start at 7 o'clock, and we go home when the sun comes up. We have to wake up 4 or 5 people, you know, because they... I just, you know, it's... You cannot put God in that type of a box. It's a relationship with the Lord. As a matter of fact, the Lord gives us peace when we sleep. So that's why I like to sleep, because I have peace. Nothing troubles me unless I have a nightmare. But that's because I ate something I shouldn't have. What I'm saying is that here is a God who cares and understands. And prayer and fasting simply wants to accelerate, emphasize the relationship with God and engaging God just for the sake of him being God. Contemplation simply means dwelling with God. Contempla in Latin. Dwelling with God. You spend time in the presence of God. Could be in your bed, could be in the couch, it could be walking, it could be here, it could be there. But you place yourself in God's presence. It's important. It's a must. three things to conclude, three practical steps. The first one is, don't be in a hurry with God. Well, I gotta pray for 5 minutes here, and in 5 minutes, time's up. No, unhurried time with God. Let God do its work. Don't be in a rush. They asked Dallas Willard about Jesus' life and what was one of the attributes that he found to be continuous and overwhelming, and he said he was never in a hurry. I said to myself, you know, why am I in a hurry? What makes me more valuable or more important than Jesus? He was never in a hurry. He was always God's time. So when you and I pray, I'm sure we're going to do more than 21 days, but I mean, as you pray, don't be in a hurry to get it over. Don't be in a hurry. Just wait. Wait in the Lord. That's scriptural. Wait in the Lord. Don't hurry. Wait. Tranquilo. Ahí está el Señor. He's speaking to you. He's ministering to you. Sometimes you don't even know it, but he's ministering to your spirit, who he has made alive through Jesus Christ. The second thing I want you to do, and I don't misunderstand this, pray without lists. Now, we do have a list of people who are in need, and that's different. What we're talking about is that you don't check, okay, I did this, okay, I get you. No, that's not it. You should bring people to your mind as the needs of others, but in reality, you're not there with a checklist. You're there to have fellowship with God. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. I don't care. You don't care. Enough so that you know that God has done something inside of you, that you've been able to drink of that abundant life. Rivers of living water will come out of you. And as it will come out from your innermost being. I don't want to go into too much of this, but I just want you to know that everything that you and I do, we do through our body. And sometimes our bodies are not filled with living water. They're filled with something else. It happens to me. Sometimes, like, what's this here? What's going on here? And there's like something's wrong. I need to get it cleansed. I need a shower. Maybe, yeah, a big shower with one of the big fire hoses, you know. And that's the word. You go into your word, and the word cleanses you. And then you come to church and you sing unto God. And like somebody said to me one time, coming to church is like taking a huge bath. But I again, without lists, just coming before him. Without pushing God, this is my agenda, God. Let's get these things done. No. You might have one. You may say to him, Lord, I got an agenda. Yeah. I want a Rolls Royce and a mint coat. God smiles at you and says, yeah, keep going. Until finally you come to the conclusion that you don't need any of that. What you need is more of him. So, unhurried time with God. Don't rush it. Secondly, don't have a list of checks. And the third thing I would say to you, and I say this to myself, you need to relate to God with joy and freedom. I remember many years ago when I did not understand what it meant to have freedom in the presence of God, because there was something in my heart about somebody. Happens. And I would say, Lord, I'm so happy. I said, but I'm not. Right? Because I have been hurt. And so-and-so, but I better not say anything. I don't want to offend God, because God knows all about you. And the freedom to be in the presence of God, to express the hurts and the pains and the disappointments, my stupidity, freedom saying, here I, God already knows. But the fact that you say things to him that we would grant he knows, it gives us the freedom, companionship, and relationship that is indispensable from our part to God. So this morning, if I've said anything, Joshua said, we're going to serve God. That's what he said. I'm old and I'm going to still serve God. Not a single promise God made, he failed us. I'm going to still serve God. Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So you serve the Lord by wanting to connect with God, by wanting to serve God, by having this hunger for divine companionship, by accepting the invitation of abundant life, by understanding that it's possible to have an interactive relationship with God like Abraham and Jacob. He's no respecter of persons. And he'll talk to you about the issues that you personally face, listening to the voice of God. But my brothers, you got to cultivate that. You need to work on it. That's God's grace. God's grace enables you to face the issues of life. God's grace gives you the ability to do what you cannot do by yourself. Paul said, I am what I am by the what? The grace of God. And James says that when things get tough, he gives you more grace. He is able to deliver you because he's already delivered you. But you need to know that you are delivered and enjoy the deliverance of your own in your own experience in life. So I quit. You gotta stop. Again, don't be in a rush when you pray. Don't pray with a checklist. Relate with God with joy and freedom to be yourself in his presence. It is so liberating. So liberating. So liberating to go to God with your questions and God's not offended. To go to God with your doubts and he doesn't disappoint you. Well, you don't disappoint him with your doubts. To go to God as you are, asking for him to help you. So this is an invitation for you to step into personal, interactive relationships with God. And the challenge is to go beyond just religious, just coming to church to be fed. You want to come to church to embrace a vibrant, living connection with God that transforms your heart and life. I love to see you here every Sunday, but I want you to know that, oh, you're missing out on a lot. We develop in community, and this is essential, basic structure of what makes you and me a Christian. We love the fellowship of the brethren. That's what John says. One of the evidences that we're Christians is that we love to come to church. That's that. But it can never be a substitute for your relationship with the Lord Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy that I have will there. Can never be replaced. Are you glad that you belong to the Lord and he belongs to you? Let's take advantage of this. And let's say, I'm going to go deeper in my life. So don't be a party pooper. Spend time with the Lord. Give it time. Andy. I think we can all sing, I come to the garden alone. Well, you're not really alone. The Lord's there. But the idea is that you take time. You take time. Whatever condition you face, the Lord is there with you. I will never leave you. Never, 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 never forsake you. And we get enriched. There's I don't know how to explain this because I still can't conceptualize it completely. It's a spiritual thing. There is an environment that you can walk into and live there. And that's God's kingdom. There is life and there's substance in God's kingdom. And it's almost like you step into a dimension that is different. And you look around and you say, whew, that's horrible. But you are in God's kingdom and you're not part of that. Sometimes it splashes over, but basically there is a dimension of life that puts those things on the side. Paul says, hey guys, don't forget, you don't fight against flesh and blood, but spiritual powers in the airs. And when you are in God's kingdom, you have all the power of the kingdom. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth, Jesus said. So go and do the work that I've assigned you to do. Oh, it's a dimension of power, very strategic. Hey, I just keep talking. But there's a dimension you can walk into. It's not spooky, it's not weird, it's normal for the Christian who enters into his presence and enjoys his presence in his life.
And
will you stand?
He walks with me.
It's a reality, brothers and sisters. It's yours for the taking. It's yours for the enjoyment. Just walk into his presence and enjoy him. Enjoy his presence. Enjoy his presence. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right, church. This is the day that the Lord has made. And look at the benediction that we give every single Sunday. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Seek him while he yet may be found, and you will be rewarded. God bless you. You're dismissed this Sunday morning.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.